Like grudge sound, like.
Hey, fun fact. Do you know why she makes that noise?
Because she's Japanese?
No, because when she was living, the way she was murdered was the dude broke her neck. So she now, that's why her head's always tilted over. She's like, because she can't really talk. So in the new Grudge movie, Kiriko is not even in the movie. They make like a reference to her. But everyone makes that noise. All the ghosts make that noise. And I'm like, did you not even watch why she makes that noise? Like, why do they all make that noise now? That's stupid.
Maybe there's like a serial neck snapper.
Yeah.
Just going around. Fuck you. Fuck you.
They're going to start like an acapella group soon.
Another episode of Undressed to Impress. My name is Josh.
And I'm Kyle. And Josh, guess what?
Yeah. What?
I never do this, but I made a New Year's resolution this year.
Fucking liar.
To see the greatest magic trick. I was like, this year I want to see the greatest magic trick ever. And goddamned, if 3 days into the year, Chris Angel doesn't put up the greatest magic trick known to man.
Is this the Grand Canyon jump?
The greatest magic. How did he do it? How did he do that?
No camera trickery.
Yeah.
No cuts. No cutaways.
People at home, if you have 4 minutes to spare, please, for the love of God, go. Just type in Chris Angel. I promise it will be the first video that pops up. Is it called Grand Canyon jump? I think that's what it's called, right?
It's like Grand Canyon death jump or something like that, but. I feel like it was released, what, a week ago on YouTube? But
weeks,
I feel like
yeah.
It was I feel like it was filmed forever ago.
Yeah, it looked like it was. Because I think he has, can I speak to your manager hair now? And in that one, he had long hair. I don't know. It was regardless, it may have been filmed a long time ago, and they thought it was so stupid they never posted it. And they're like, well, we got nothing this week. What about that one where we use the Adobe effects?
So, like, I mean, it's always hard to place when one of his tricks is filmed because he always looks like he's dressed from like 2003.
Yeah, he's very edgy looking, but supposedly he's like a really good guy, you know, like, and he's always teaching people how he does his tricks and stuff, which some of them are you know, so
it'll be After Effects easy.
I mean, look, okay, it's like wrestling, you know that magic is not real. There are not wizards around. Hate to break it to you.
Speak for yourself, bud.
You got to suspend your disbelief for a moment and be like, this is bullshit, but let's enjoy the ride. But the problem here is, like, this one was like an insult to people's intelligence.
It really was. Like, if people haven't seen it, he's literally, so the basic trick is he's going to drive a vehicle, like a little tricycle bike, like car thing. I forgot what they call it.
A T-Rex.
He's going to drive it off of a ramp into the Grand Canyon, but in the middle of it, there's a helicopter with a cage suspended underneath of it. So,
not a cage. It was a six-sided cell. I was like, just call it a cage. What the fuck?
Yeah.
A six-sided cell? He was like, think of this like a gel cell. Thanks, bud.
That's exactly what it is.
I appreciate that. I would have never put those two things together.
I had the exact same thought when he said that. It's a six-sided cage. I'm like, well, no shit.
And keep in mind, he says and shows you 23 different camera angles. He's like, we have 23 cameras. We got cameras in the helicopter, outside the helicopter, on the ramp, in the T-Rex, man cameras on the ground, man cameras in the air. There's a bird flying around with a camera strapped to its asshole. We've got cameras. They show you two shots the entire time. The main shot they show you is an obvious fade-out with Adobe After Effects explosions and like covering the entire screen, and then it comes back to him going,
Well, the trick was literally he was going to jump off the ramp and then magically appear in the cage that was being suspended underneath the helicopter
over the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
Over the Grand Canyon. And yeah, he mentioned like 23 different camera angles. They showed you three during the trick. The other 20 were shown like in those segments before like a commercial break, like coming up, we'll do this. And it like just flashes through all the different camera angles. But when the actual trick happens, it's literally just one at the base of the ramp, right in front of the only side where fire is going to be set off as he's driving up the ramp.
Oh, yeah, explosions are supposed to go off. That's why there was the after effects, but it was just like, it was obviously computer effects.
Yeah, because one, it was like, it went towards the camera for one. Yeah. So when the explosions went off, you just see this bright red flash towards the camera, like some shitty like wrestling promotion commercial, like Sunday.
That's Monster Truck, bro.
Same thing, whatever.
It's the same thing as wrestling.
It's all rednecks.
Undertaker, Gravedigger, bullshit.
And then there was another camera angle showing the T-Rex as he was driving up to the ramp.
And then just vanishes.
Yeah. Like, the explosion sets off, you see the fire come at you, and then it magically fades within half a second. And then, like Kyle said, Chris Angel's sitting in the cage going, yeah, I did it!
Like,
yeah!
He's fucking like riding on the back of the fucking dog dude from Neverending Story. Falcor, is that his name?
Yeah.
Falcor! Yeah!
even if you don't notice the fire, just look at the sky in the background. It gets dark. Like, it gets darker. Like, it was bright middle of the day, and then all of a sudden, it's almost sunset. I'm like, hello?
My favorite part was, because he's got, like, a slight lisp. Like, I'm not going to knock it. My voice is stupid, too. But he's just like, somehow, some way, I must make it in that jail cell. I'm just like, okay. I'm there.
And when he's putting on the helmet is the best part, too. He's like, I'm putting on the helmet now just to show you there's only one of me. No twin, no body double, just me, Chris Angel.
I'm like, Christopher Nicholas Santarkosis.
I'm just like, are you fucking serious?
His last name is Sarantakis.
Is that it? Really?
Yeah, like, it's like a Dennis Saperstein joke to me. You know what I mean? Like, he changed his name, but it sounds cooler to be Chris Sarantakis.
I want a Greek last name. They sound so cool.
Yeah. But that video has, has 4,000 likes. But the like to dislike ratio is very different. The dislikes is 38, just under 38,000 dislikes.
It's very skewed.
My favorite comment was, as convincing as my dad's got your nose trick.
I think the like dislike ratio on that video is, I think I've only ever seen that one other time, and that was with a Justin Bieber video, I think.
And the YouTube rewinds every year.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Because I think the, not this past one, but the one before that, the YouTube rewind got like the most dislikes ever. Like, it beat out that Justin Bieber baby video.
Why do people dislike those videos? I don't get it.
Because YouTube kind of they pick and choose what the highlights of the year was, even though they clearly weren't. Like, it's basically just ads and stupid. It's like a bunch of YouTubers you never heard of. I don't give a shit about it either way. Like, even if it was putting PewDiePie in it, I wouldn't care, you know? But it's like, it's disregarding people they deem offensive or whatever, even though they were popular. But then they'll have, like, these, like, F-list YouTubers who no one's ever heard of. It's some stupid thing. I don't know. I watch a lot of YouTube, but I don't watch a lot of YouTubers like that. Like, the big ones, I don't know them. You know, yeah. I'm primarily, like, horror channels or wrestling channels or... that's pretty much it. But, like, I don't even know a lot of the big ones. Like, I barely know who the Paul brothers are on the side, other than that they're, you know, everyone else knows they're just douchebags, and one of them filmed a dead body. That's about all I know.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've never paid attention to them. So I was always just wondering, like, why people hated them so much.
I think that's why, because they're pretty much writing their own history. People hate YouTube already. You know, the past several years, each year gets worse with people on YouTube, but there's nowhere else to go, so they got to do whatever they got to do.
Yeah, with all the copyright strike controversies and stuff happening. Like...
They're straight up taking people's channels down now, without notice, just like deleting all these years of work just because they don't think that it's right, or they think it's bullying. You know, like iDubbbz, he got his Leafy content comp was taken down, deleted because they said it was bullying, even though Leafy literally that's all he does. He just make fun of people.
Right. Yeah. It's also just their automated system too that causes a bunch of problems.
Oh yeah, it's all bots.
Yep.
You got to watch what you say now. Like even if it, like you know, I've been talking about doing this YouTube thing. Eventually, I'll get to it when I get the backbone. But you, I've debated like, should I just, you know, say fuck it? Who cares if I mean, I'm not looking to really make money off of it. I'm just looking to do my own thing. So do I really care if I get ad revenue? Or like, I'm more worried like, will I post these videos and they get blocked or deleted because I'm saying fuck? And I mean, even like people like PewDiePie, which again, I mean, I barely know. I've watched some of his like gaming videos, but other than he used to scream a lot, that's about all I know. And now he does meme reviews, and I'm just like, no thanks.
I think it's more of just like advertisers, and then also. Yeah. Trolls reporting videos, and with the way their automated system works, it's just easy to manipulate and like get videos taken down that you may not like.
Yeah, it's three strikes and you get your channel deleted. It's crazy.
Thanks, Bill Clinton.
Al Gore invented the internet. It's his problem.
Hey, yeah, if you let me sue him for loss of wages.
That'd be great. I mean, some comedian got sued $35,000 because he made fun of somebody and he had to pay it in Canada.
That's so fucking retarded,
is
man.
Is that not the craziest thing you fucking ever heard? Look it up. He had to pay, and the guy had some like disability where he looked like an elf, and the guy made a joke about him, and he said that he hurt his feelings and psychological damages. He had to pay $35,000 to him. He's like disputing it, taking it to Supreme Court, and the guy's mom even said, "I want $7,000 for me as well because you hurt my feelings by hurting my son's feelings."
Oh my god!
And like in the lawsuit, it actually says in a nation where we take free speech seriously, and then like it like completely contradicts that statement by saying I'm suing you for saying something. It's so like, stupid.
I know there's libel and slander laws, at least in America, and I'm pretty sure there is like everywhere else too. But it's like you're at a comedy show, and. I don't know if he was just doing, like, crowd work or if the guy was possibly heckling him. Like,
I don't think the guy was even at the show. I think that it was, like, someone that he talked about. I don't know the full story, but I know that he's got to pay up $35,000.
That's even worse.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Stupid. He may have been at the show, though. I don't know.
I mean, it's not as bad as that one video we saw where the comedian was doing crowd work. And he's like, he asked that lady about her dad or whatever. And yeah. It was like, well, he murdered my mom. He's like, whoa.
Are you like over it? Is it okay? It was like last year. Oh, okay.
It's even worse. I've never seen a set get halted so fast.
Hey, this is a good segue into what you had me watch. John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Gang on Netflix.
Yeah.
Much better than Oh Hello. Now I like the skits for Oh Hello, but it was just like, I don't want to watch an hour and 20 minutes of them on stage doing that. But I liked the 3-minute, 5-minute skits of them.
I loved it. I loved Oh Hello. Like I'm an unironic Nick Kroll fan.
Yeah.
As much as like his, I didn't really like the Nick Kroll show, but other stuff that he's in, like The League and even Big Mouth is pretty funny, but I don't know.
The douche.
And Parks and Rec.
I like him in shows. Yeah. But I don't think I've seen him do like, his shtick, whatever he wants, you know, like when he's even being interviewed, I think he's fine. Like I don't have a problem with him, but you know, like there's something about him that makes me want to punch him sometimes. I think, and maybe it's his face. I don't know.
Is it because he has big eyes?
No, I don't care about that. I fall big into nose. Him. I fall into those eyes.
Got a big mouth.
It was difficult to watch Sack Lunch Gang with a 4-year-old in the house, even though that show is literally made for kids. It's still a weird. Right. Kind of, you know, she could watch it and she would not even know any different, you know.
Yeah, and if no one's familiar with it, it's a new Netflix special that John Mulaney put out. Like, he made it specifically for kids. Like, it's rated PG, but it's also just a like an exploration of like people's fears and stuff like that, and even not just kids, but like adults too.
Yeah.
Like, there's some adult humor in there that's pretty funny. But in between, like, skits, they'll have interviews with some of the guest stars and some of the kids that are on the show. And it's just, like, it's very quirky.
Like, at that age, though, My fears were like spiders and heights and clowns or whatever. But like these kids were like home invasions, dying in my sleep, drowning, being too scared to take risks. I'm like, how old are you?
That one kid, the little black boy with the glasses, like, yeah. I think his is falling, like, dying in his sleep. I'm like, bro, you're like 10. What are you doing?
God, you're deep,
Come
bro.
Outside.
Richard Kind was, he has the same fears as me, just realizing that I'm as dumb as I am. Like, you're like, you realize one day, you're like, man, I'm pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I love Richard Kind, too. His segment was so ridiculous. Girl talk.
Yeah, so good. What's your biggest fear now?
My biggest fear is probably like living, like being destitute.
Yeah, that's a big one. Like, mine's pathetic.
Like moving out and then like not having anything.
Like nothing? Yeah. Like no one around you or just like being poor?
Anything.
Yeah. That's
no one,
being
nothing.
Homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a scary one. But mine's always pathetic. You know how scared I am of heights. Like, I when we used to change light bulbs at the movie theater, I have a panic attack because I got to change the ones that were up high.
Yeah. Well, I mean, best thing about heights is if you fall from a high enough height, you might just die. So no
I'll
reason to be
I'll probably die of a heart attack on the way down. So there's that.
There you go.
Yeah. The kids were talking about ways, like, of dying. They're pretty much the whole time dying. Even... Well, hold on. I don't want to talk about Mr. Music till last because he was obviously the best part.
The crowning achievement.
Yes.
The piece de resistance.
My favorite quote from John Mulaney was, "I recently watched children's programming and didn't like it. I liked it when I was a kid, though, so that means it was better back then." It's so good.
That also reminded me of the Andy quote from The Office when he said that.
Yeah.
Because it's so true. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the stuff you watch in the past – you liked it, and then you try to watch it now, and you're like, this is not good. Like, try going back and watching, like, shows like All That and those cartoons and stuff that you watched as a kid. You'll pick up on shit that you didn't realize before, and you probably won't remember it like you used to.
Oh, for sure, but that's not really what that means. I didn't take it that way. I took it as, like, I watched Goosebumps as a kid, and it was awesome. I tried to watch the Goosebumps movie they just came out with, and it sucked, so that means it was better back then, even though this movie could be as good as the show back then.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, your little kid brain
remembered
it different for different reasons.
It's that whole childhood ruined my childhood thing that we talked about last time. That's not true. You know, it's like, they make new things. Doesn't mean it's bad, just people liked it. You know, that's for the kids now, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still, like, you may think it's corny now, but it was corny back then, too. It just wasn't corny to us as kids.
I was telling Tay, we were watching SmackDown, and the pretty much Roman Reigns and, like, the King Baron Corbin shit about dogs and putting dog food on each other, or, like, having a dog mascot come out and making fun of Roman Reigns. His music, they changed it to dog noises, so it was, like, barking to the Shield song. It, you know, it's cheesy, but I'm like, yeah, but like this segment is pretty much for the kids. They know that kids like Roman Reigns, not necessarily like grown men. So they don't really give a shit about the grown men when he comes out now. So like, I've kind of just adjusted my brain going, all right, this is the kids part. So let me just do something because I don't care about it, but I understand that part is for kids. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to change my viewpoint because it's stupid to hate an entire show because one segment was stupid.
Well, there are the majority of people that do that because they're stupid. But yeah, I know what you're saying because they have to appeal to a wide audience. Like, you have the smarks like us, and then you have the kids, and then you have like just the casual viewers.
Yeah.
So they have to have something for everyone.
And the ladies who were there to see the sexy wet hair of Roman Reigns.
Or Otis.
Mm, that tongue gets moving.
Don't discount Otis, brother.
He looks every time he does anything, talks, moves, he's like a new Chris Farley. The way he talks and like his voice is very Chris Farley. So his facial expressions, his weight, like everything just reminds me of Chris Farley somehow. But anyway, the Sack Lunch Gang. We had my personal favorite skit aside from when we get to Jake Gyllenhaal is the grandma and Paul song or whatever the fuck it was, you know. Poor Paul.
The very first one.
So good. I loved that shit.
I was not really into it, to be honest. Like when it, because that was the first one you saw, like the first sketch.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is okay. Like, it got better as it went along, but I just stuck with it and gave it a chance. And then it got to the sketch with the parents' party, like the kit, and she wanted to show something off. And then I forgot who the guest star was, but that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where if you know the tone going in, and you know that it's very dry humor and it's not for everybody, but I think if you know what to expect going in, you're going to enjoy it more right off the bat if you like that kind of thing. But like for me, his humor has always been very dry, so I kind of expected that when I watched it. But that, I guess that's why I like the grandpa thing, because it just was relatable. Like Paul, you know, Paul, and then you know you have that new person in the family, and everyone's like, "Fuck you, Paul."
Yeah, but, especially like it was relatable to me too, because like a long time ago, my grandma started dating somebody, like they're in their 70s, and all my uncles and my dad had kind of the same thing, like "Fuck you, Bob." Like his name was Bob, and like you know they weren't the fondest of him.
They don't give him a chance. Yeah,
it was kind of weird. Yeah. So I was like, when I was watching that, I'm like, God damn, this is just like those years ago.
Only one I didn't really like was the one where the tutor was Mr. Glass, pretty much. He looked just like Mr. Glass from Unbreakable. I didn't care for that song.
Yeah.
But anyway, the creme de la creme was Jake Gyllenhaal's. He was the Big Finish guest. He was Mr. Music. And, I mean, he's like, follow me, but also give me space, okay? So good.
There's like, no instruments, no instruments. Put down your tiny trumpet.
I'm making music. You're ignorant.
So the whole premise of that sketch was making music with, you know, like there's music all around you,
like stomp
sound, like real sounds, natural sounds are all around you, and you can make music. So when the kid is like, can I play my trombone, he's like, no, put away your giant trumpet or whatever he said. And then like he jumps into the song, and like he goes to different parts of a house, I guess, or whatever, and you hear the different sounds that each room makes. Like there's a he gets a fucking cat to meow in his ear.
Yeah, or like he's trying to flush a toilet, but it's obviously a fake toilet, or you know, fake toilet, but it's not hooked up. It's just for show, and it's not flushing. And
yeah, and I read that whole segment was filmed live, because like every other song in the show was lip synced.
Yeah,
that was live because you know he had to get the sounds, and so when he gets the toilet part and it doesn't flush, that's like a real reaction.
I love him so much. Like he's one of those, he's one of my like top five people, living people, I guess I should say. I had to knock Robin Williams off the list, because I mean he knocked himself off the list, but
damn,
too deep. too soon.
Too soon.
He's a jerk, and I'm just kidding. But like, I mean, like Jake Gyllenhaal legitimately is just one of those people that just seems like the coolest person in real life.
He gets into every role he plays.
Yeah, for real. And Nightcrawler may be his best one. I love that movie so much.
Yep. And like even a small segment for this special, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Just the way he like committed to the role, it was so good.
And we were talking about biggest fears, and when his came up, he said, my biggest fear is my family dying, and like right next to that is my iPhone dying. What's your ideal way to die?
Quietly.
Don't say in your sleep. That's a cop-out answer.
I mean, quietly, like, I don't know.
You don't want to be screaming?
I don't want to die violently.
I don't know, man. If you go quick, though, it'd be a headline.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously want to go quick, but not, like, in a violent way.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, find out I have some deadly disease, and then 3 days later, I'm done. Like, I don't want to sit through the pain.
Yeah, that's true. I can relate. That's a scary situation.
like if there was ever a situation where I got into an accident or something and like I became brain dead.
Oh yeah.
Instantly pull the plug. Oh, don't even
sure.
try.
Here's a messed up story. So when my stepdad, he was really sick. He had several strokes. The last one put him into a coma, and like there was like a pastor who came in. You know how they always have like deacons and pastors come in, like, would you like to pray for him? This guy came in, he was like, would you like to pray for him? I hear he'll be dead soon. And I was like, Jesus, like, to my mom, who is already distraught. And so when I looked over at him, I literally saw a tear running down his face. And like, it could have been coincidental, like, you know, everyone's body, you know, obviously his eyes could be watery, but I don't know. It fucked me up. I was like, Jesus, he's in there. Like, he's conscious of what's going on. He just can't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's scary. That might be, okay, fuck ladders. Being a vegetable is super scary.
Like, you watched that Awake movie, right, with Hayden Christensen?
Yeah.
The sleep paralysis movie? That's a big fear. I've never had sleep paralysis, but if that ever happened to me, I don't know what I'd do.
Like, I thought of that movie. I had never had surgery before up until this last – until 2019, and then I had, like, three, like, in a row. I thought of that movie every single time. And, of course, you know, what they hit you with so much – anesthesia or whatever, that I was out, like, and I didn't even know that I went, you know, fell asleep. Like, they'd be talking to me, and I can remember, like, talking to them, and then I feel like just like mid sentence, just like, you know, out, and then I'd wake up and my underwear was gone, and I was like, wait,
where are my kidneys?
What happened?
Where are my kidneys?
I went in with socks, underwear, and a gown on, and a you know, an IV and a bracelet. I woke up with a IV like three times the size that I went in my skin. It was like a pencil in my skin, and a different gown, no underwear, and no socks. I was like,
You 100% shit yourself while you were on.
Yeah, I think so.
100%. They're like, well, gotta take him off.
Let him sit in it. This is punishment.
As soon as you went out, just dookie everywhere.
I hope I did, because they got that bill up there.
Just Duke City.
That's why my bill's so high. They had to wipe me.
Fucking contamination. Yeah, like, when I got my wisdom teeth taken out back in high school, they gave me anesthetic too.
Yeah.
And they didn't really tell me that they were injecting the anesthetic yet. Well, yeah, they did. But they left out one crucial part. About 5 seconds after she was done hitting the plunger on the syringe, my fucking balls started, like, burning and itching. And I started doing that weird thing you do with your legs where you try and itch them with your thighs.
Yeah. The inconspicuous scratch.
Yeah, and I'm talking to the doctor at the same time, and he's like, oh, that itchy burning feeling? Yeah, that'll go away. I'm like, why the fuck didn't you tell me about it?
Yeah, I had contrast put into my system several times, like probably every like month or so to do scans. And they're like, it's going to make you feel like you have to burn pee. And I'm like, what does that mean? And they're like I shit you not, 30 seconds later, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I had that too when I was getting CT scans.
Yeah.
They put that contrast in you.
Right.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, my neck started getting warm, and then, like, it just flows down your body.
It's really fast. It goes over you really fast, but it's very warm and intense. And once it got to my junk, it was like it sat there for a second, and it felt like my urethra was falling out for a second.
It's like you're sitting in a heated seat.
Yeah, yeah. And then that heated seat sits on you.
Pretty much. And then, but after the anesthetic was injected, they're like, okay, we're gonna start counting down from 10. And it was like 10, 9, and then I didn't remember anything.
Yeah.
And it felt 5 seconds later I was awake again.
Yeah, I got a bone marrow biopsy, and I so I had to lay on my stomach, and they pretty much drilled a hole into my spine to get, you know, some shit out. And I told my mom, you know, my mom came with me for that one. And I was like Will Ferrell in the campaign. I was like, I think I'm maintaining. Am I maintaining, Paul? You know, like, so I don't remember. I thought when I came to, I didn't fall asleep, but like, you're so out of it and groggy, you kind of just black out for a little bit. And I came back. I was like, that was really fast. I think that I did pretty good. She's like, you were pretty high for a while. I was like, oh, was I? I didn't say anything racist, did I? Because she did say something racist one time when she was out.
Nice.
So good. It's not really, but I'll tell you that if you tell me yours.
I remember when I woke up after they were done, they shook me awake, and my dad was in the room. And he was like, Josh, time to get up. I'm like, and I'm still in the chair, kind of leaned back still. And when I realize it's him waking me up, I like jump out of the chair. I'm like, ugh. And he's like, it's time to go. I'm like, ugh. And just start fucking zombie running towards the door. He's like, whoa, 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 Colin, hold
what
on.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, ugh. I'm so out of it.
Eat.
Well, it happened so fast, too. Like, yeah. It literally felt like I was asleep for 5 seconds.
That's crazy. Yeah, exactly. That's how surgery felt. Like, I just woke up, and I was super groggy, though, for, like, I was freezing cold, and just, I felt high, you know, like, really, really, really high. And they were like, you're going to come out of it soon. And I was like, this, I was conscious, and I was able to talk, but I just couldn't, like, get my shit together, you know?
Yeah.
It was like watching a like Intervention. But so one quick
am
one.
Am I an addict?
Oh god, that morphine was pretty good. Are you guys all here because you love me and you want me to seek help? You love me like crazy. So my mom, she had something. I can't really remember what it was, but I was the one that took her there for, and she, you know, she got the gas. And she came to me, and she was super high, and she's like, hey, when I was in there, there was, like, some stormtroopers, and Darth Vader was doing shit to me, and I was like, what? So I was like, okay, Mom, you're just, you know, you're high. 2 seconds later, the doctor walks in with the nurses, and he's a black guy, and he has got white nurses, and she thought it was Darth Vader and stormtroopers.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So speaking of crazy... Let's talk about Goop.
Goop. My Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sign me up. So do you know why Goop was named Goop, Josh?
Probably because that's what comes out of her vagina every morning. I don't know.
You know, yeah, that's I went straight to that, too, because, like, you know, I just thought she calls Goop, like, vaginal fluid or something. But, no, they got eggs to dry your vagina out. They don't want you to have anything in your vagina.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the vagina drying eggs.
Legitimately, this is why she named it Goop. Named because someone told me that successful internet companies have two O's in the name.
Dude, it's already starting. Like, it's already starting as a fucking bullshit excuse. Like, oh my god.
Do you because you know Google, Facebook, Amazon, PooPal. Don't look that one up. That might actually come to, like, some weird German site.
MySpace. MySpoots.
Instagram.
Woof.
Oh, don't talk about that. That's trademarked. So here's some beautiful quotes before we get into Goop, from just so we can get a feel for, because I don't think people know that Gwyneth Paltrow is up her own ass as much as she is. She says, we're human beings and the sun is the sun. How can it be bad for you? I don't think anything natural can be bad for you. Yeah, tornadoes are fine. Measles.
Carbon monoxide.
Hurricane. I mean,
venom, rattlesnakes.
Oprah Winfrey. I mean, there's some days I feel like everyone in my world has plugged themselves into my kidneys. I'm so tired. I basically love anything that comes in a hot dog bun, except for hot dogs.
I come in a hot dog bun all the time.
I bet you do. I've walked in on you coming in some weird stuff.
Hot dog buns, fucking tortillas.
All right, last one. I'll never forget it. I was starting to hike up Red Rocks, and honestly, I heard the rock say, you have the answers. You are the teacher. And I thought I was having an auditory hallucination. She is so nuts.
We're having a hallucination.
Basically, Goop has been the talk of the town for like a year or so, I'd say. But just this past like month or so, her candle that says, this smells like my vagina for $75 is... what's really set people off, and now the whole Netflix shit.
Yeah,
is it on there yet?
Yeah, Netflix gave her money to promote the pseudoscience bullshit. Like, I'm gonna hold up. Let me pull up some products that she sells.
No, I have a game. I have a game that we're gonna play. You're gonna guess what if it's a product or if it's something that I made up.
Okay, I'll close out the site then.
Yeah,
right,
don't cheat. You want to do it now? Okay. This is called Goop.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Backstory. All of her products are bullshit, and if you buy them, you're a fucking idiot.
She has a lot of, like, clothes, but it's, like, overpriced clothes. But the majority of it is, like, jade vagina eggs for $50. Like, and then there's literally, like, a steaming thing they have for your vagina. I think they discontinued it because it was, like, hurting people, obviously, where they dry out your vagina. A vagina is a self-cleaning... the liquids are there for a purpose.
And make your vagina feel like it's 80 years old.
God. And then there's like, one of her things was everyone will feel better after they need to be on a yacht. And so she has yacht trips from Goop, of course, you know, for thousands upon thousands of dollars. They have like a nothing but goat milk diet. You burn. These are taken from a video that you actually linked me, I believe, that he was like doing research on. I should have gave him some credit. I can't remember who it is. Burn your bras to get rid of your ex-boyfriend's energy. This is like made for anti-vax moms and like the can I speak to your manager people.
Karens. They're made for Karens. No disrespect to my mom.
Yeah, I stopped saying that because of your mom. I say speak to your manager people just because your mom's name is Karen and she's not one of those people.
Can we name them Susans? Can we call them Susans or Kates?
Yeah.
I think Kate's a good one because it reminds me of – every time I see that haircut, I think of that Kate lady from that John and Kate Plus 8 show on TLC.
Yeah. And I know a crazy Katie too. Let's do that. From here on out, for Undressed to Impress, they're no longer Karens. They're Kates.
Call them Kate from now on because my mom's name is Karen.
All right.
And she's a nice lady.
She is. She's a saint. So that's the backstory. Overpriced stuff, and it's pretty much just it's a scam. It's a cult. It's Scientology all over again. Except they didn't try to dry out your vagina. At least Scientology didn't try to dry out your vaginas.
That we know of.
Okay, let's play Goop or Duped. There are 7 rounds. I'm going to give you 2 products. You have to tell me which one is the one you think is real and which one you think I made up. And then I'll tally them up. I'm not going to tell you which is right or wrong. I'll tally them up and we'll see how many you get.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I feel like we're doing a Rhett and Link bit.
Oh, we should. You know what? We should have been doing that like 10 years ago. You and I have been doing Rhett and Link bits since we've known each other.
That's true. That's very true.
Let's eat this weird thing. Hey, let's play this game where you throw a blue ball at each other's nuts.
What if we blender some shit and some popcorn together with some Diet Coke? Wonder what it tastes like.
Just do it.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Goop Glow Morning Skin Super Powder for $60 or the Martini Emotional Detox Bath Soak for $35. Which is Goop?
Second one is Goop. First one's Duped.
Okay. Balls in the Air Vitamin Pack for $90. I had to do some research, okay? Arouse Stimulating Serum for $75.
Goop and Duped.
Okay. The Penis Book for $16 or Surviving Death for $8. The best title ever.
Duped and Gooped.
Okay. The Menstrual Cup for $40 or Clear Quartz Crystal Infused Water Bottle for $80.
The Menstrual Cup is definitely Goop.
Okay. Chill Child Kid Calming Mist for $27 or Psychic Vampire Repellent for $27.
Fuck. I don't even know. They're both
Do you want to calm your kid with a nice mist or do you want to get rid of psychic vampires?
God damn it. Gooped is the vampire one. Okay. Duped is the first one.
Saltwater Tall Lace-Up Leather Duck Boots for $180 or Sissy Pleat Neck Padded Shoulder Shell Blouse for $375. I don't know what half those words mean.
What the fuck? Saltwater boots?
Saltwater pleat neck padded. Saltwater tall lace up leather duck boots or sissy pleat neck padded shoulder shell blouse.
She sells seashells. fuck. I don't even know. The shoulder pads are Goop.
Okay.
No, boots are Goop. Boots are Goop.
Goldie Tiger Tall boots for $750 or customizable Zodiac White Onyx singlet ring for $2,500.
Did you look up tongue twisters for this or something?
Just which one's duped, bro?
The ring is goop.
Big twist. Every one of those items are fucking goop.
No.
Every single one of them.
No way. She sells psychic vampire spray?
Yes.
How much?
Psychic vampire film, $27. That might be the most reasonable thing she has. $27 seems. I'd pay $27 for some psychic vampire repellent.
My birthday's in August.
Mine's first in May.
God damn it.
I'll get you the kid spray so when Marty comes over, you can calm him down when you play Mario.
Oh, man. Goop. That's ridiculous. They're all goop?
Yeah, every one of them. All 16 of those bitches, or all 14 of those are goop products. You know how long it took me to find goop products?
I feel like not long, because aren't they all on the website?
To be honest, a lot of the stuff is just, like, overpriced bullshit, and it's a lot of repetitive stuff. Like, they use, like, herbs from Africa, and it was, like, it's a crazy long name. But it's a lot of stuff that you can go to, like, a health, like, herbal store or whatever and get. The only difference is they're selling it for, like, $500 as opposed to getting, like, a bag of whatever you're getting for, you know, $10. And then, like, their clothing is, like, literally shit that you'd get at, like, fat girl stores like Kato. And it's like $1,000 for this pair of boots or whatever. It's crazy. And, of course, they have a section for the recommendations from Gwyneth Paltrow, and it's literally only the expensive shit.
Right. Yeah, like, I'm looking at the men's section right now. All of the men's, like, sweaters and stuff, they have a dude's name in the thing, like the Mike Rib boat sweater, the Dan cashmere hoodie, the Brad cashmere cardigan, the Tony striped linen sweater. Like, what the fuck?
I want to get Surviving Death because that seems like it might be useful.
Yeah.
A book, Surviving Death. What? Just think about that title.
Surviving Death. There's a vulva t-shirt. It literally says it's only a vulva.
Mm.
Cold shower tee that literally just says cold shower? Question mark?
Yeah, that was there was a bunch of stuff in like what category was it? It was like just stupid sayings. Like candles were just named like yes, bitch, or oh, there's stickers that you put on your skin and it changes like your chakra or something like that, and like each of them say like some sassy thing on it. Ugh, God.
Like, oh my Jesus. Why would you pay $400 for a fucking jacket? $120 for a fucking bikini bottom.
Bro, balls in the air pills are $90. You want your balls to float, Richie?
What the fuck, man? This is so ridiculous.
It's insane. It's like such a scheme. Help. And like you look up the videos and shit, there are so many women doing this shit.
I believe it.
It's just stupid. It's so stupid. How can you get into this and be like, that makes sense? Like, Scientology's stupid because it's just like volcano spirits came out and flooded the earth and they made people. That's what we are. We're volcano aliens. Okay, whatever. I mean, Christianity has just as many dumb stories as that. But I guess in Christianity, though, it's not like there was not like a burning bush talking to someone. Every story is a metaphor on how to be a better person. And some of those metaphors maybe didn't age that well. Some of them, you know, don't hurt a gay person. You know, yeah. You know, shit, it's ignorance has been around since the dawn of man. But like, I just do not know how you can see someone selling shit like this and be like, yeah, I could see that. I don't get it.
Dude, you can get a vibrator necklace.
Well, I already have two of those, and I only paid $2 for them at Starship.
If you want to just carry around your vibrator, just put it on a necklace.
It's only a vulva.
It's only a vulva.
I think we should get those shirts. Do we have $60 to spare?
I mean, I guess some of the stuff isn't too far-fetched.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so, it's a lot of stuff you get from an herbal store or just like a, it's just like really...
Like a wellness store. Like looking at the oral health, oral care section, like they have charcoal toothbrushes, which is normal.
But the difference is, though, is you're paying like... There's no difference in the charcoal toothpaste or and toothbrush they have on this site as opposed to the one that you could get wherever. The only difference is it's like $65 for a fucking toothbrush when you can just get one for $3.
It's $8.
Okay, well, still. That's still high for a toothbrush. Josh, I can get surviving death for $8, so...
Dude, what the fuck are these... what are these headphones? They have, like, fucking spikes in the headphones.
Yeah, they want you to implant that in your face.
What the fuck?
Do you ever see that thing, that Shark Tank... I don't know if it still comes on. Do you remember that show Shark Tank?
I remember the show. I've never seen it.
I've seen, like, clips. I've only seen this clip because it was just, like, infamous. This guy went and pitched an idea to where you can get speakers implanted into your behind your ears, into your head. It was a charging port or some shit like that. Like a USB port permanently into you. And they were like, well, what's the health risks? And you're like, oh, there are none. It's fine.
Sign me up.
I got to charge my phone. You have an outlet? I actually do.
Here, just plug it in the back of my ear. You got USB-C?
Excuse me?
You're just fucking dangling a phone from your goddamn ear?
That's... Oh my god, people are nuts. Needless to say, they did not give him the money.
I'm shocked, honestly.
I bet Gwyneth Paltrow might, though.
She probably would. Like, I don't know if it would actually go with her whole brand that she's trying to do. Like, I wonder if this is like some sort of tongue-in-cheek kind of thing that she's doing. Like,
no, I don't know, man. She seems pretty serious.
I don't know. Like, it's like looking further into the website, like the different products that they sell. Like, it's like we said, it's not something you wouldn't find at a wellness store. You're just overpaying for most of it, like the clothing and stuff like that.
So do you think that maybe she knows this is all bullshit and she just knows it's a cash cow?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you say, yeah, I need a goop because I need a 2 O's, I'm like, what?
She can't be that dumb.
We should have been on Drews to Improves.
But then you also... But then you also think back to when she married the dude from Yellow Card.
Yeah.
And while they were singing It Was All Yellow, they ended up naming their fucking kid Apple. Yeah. So there's another check mark in the box of she's fucking nuts.
Yeah, Apple. I mean, well, Shannon Sossaman named her kid Audio Science. And ever since then, I think that's the greatest name in the world. Audio Science Sossaman.
I mean... Kanye and Kim named their kids like North, South, East, and West.
Yeah, fucking kill them.
So.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Wait, he's West, West?
I don't know if there's an actual West, but they have like North and South or something.
I know there's a Northwest, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Fucking celebrities are so. Some of them are so far up their own ass that, like, they have to hold on to their fucking identity through their kids.
The problem is that we're all plugged into their kidneys, and they just are so over it.
Yeah. I don't have a problem. Like, look at Will Smith and his kids. Like, he's a Scientologist and everything like that, but I also feel like he's not impressing everything onto his kids.
Yeah, his kids are strange, but at the same time, they're being themselves. Like, it's not like... He's making them do weird shit. Like, Jaden comes out and dresses sometimes. I know, like, four dudes who do that. So it's not like a weird, you know, I don't think that's weird. That's just a kid experimenting with who he wants to be, and that's fine. And it's cool that they actually are like, yeah, whatever, he's being him, you know, or, you know, Willow being her. I don't really follow them that much, but every time that I've seen them, it's always some kind of weird headline, like, can you believe they're doing this? Like, who gives a shit? Why do you care? It's not you.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's just... And then you have the people like fucking Kanye and Gwyneth Paltrow that are just weird.
Yeah. So, I guess we can segue into a weird movie that was, I think, awesome, amazing.
I want to know if it triggered your fear of heights.
You mean the part where the old couple jumps off?
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever have a problem. Like, even when they show, like, a shot of, like, someone looking over a building, I never have, like, an anxious feeling. It's got to be, like, I can't suspend my disbelief that much to where I feel like I'm in the movie, you know? I have to, like, actually be experiencing it or have, like, a nightmare. But, like, this is a good folk horror comedy drama kind of sort of mystery sort of. And I said I made a post about, like, my favorite movies of this year, like I always do. I should have put, I watched both of these movies, Lighthouse and Midsommar, back to back the other night. And I think Lighthouse maybe edges out Midsommar just by a hair. And when you see it, I think you're going to love The Lighthouse.
Right.
So we'll save, you know, of course you've got to see that one. We'll save that one for next time. But I love Florence Pugh. I think her voice is like Scarlett Johansson. Like, it just does things to me. I love girls who have raspy voices.
I was going to mention that. Like, I thought that same thing. I thought the same thing, too. Like, she's got that, yeah, like, husky, raspy voice.
It's so sexy.
So going into the movie, like, I knew kind of what it was about. Like, I vaguely remember the trailer, like, seeing them, like, in Sweden and her with the little flower crown and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of expecting more of a horror element, as in, like, more people dying on screen and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, and, like, watching the movie, like, when they first get to Sweden and they're doing all their ritual shit, I'm like, these motherfuckers be cannibals. And then we get to the scene where the two old people jump off the cliff, and I'm like, well, never mind.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, you watch Hereditary and there's a lot of, like, violence, but this movie takes its roots from The Wicker Man, not like the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man, but the original Wicker Man with Christopher Lee. And that movie has, like, musical segments and just a lot of weird shit. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time, and it's almost not even a horror movie. That's why I called this one a folk horror movie. That's what Wicker Man is. Like, when you watch this movie, if you've ever seen Wicker Man, there is so much stuff that is just like The Wicker Man. Like spoilers on both movies. We're going to spoil this movie, by the way. But I'm pretty sure everyone who wants to see it has seen it by now. Like for instance, when he gets burned at the end in the bear suit, which is horrifying, by the way, when you can't do anything about it and you're being burned alive. At the end of Wicker Man, of course, they burn him in the Wicker Man. Like, there's a lot of imagery that is taken straight from, like, that movie, I think. Like, I think Ari Aster's a genius within his, like, realm of storytelling. But like you told me the other day, I do agree that, like, his stories so far, he only has two, but they do play out almost identical. Like, it's a pagan story, there's some weird witchcraft sorcery shit, and then, like, you know, the same thing kind of, like, they both begin with, like, tragedy, you know what I mean? Like, are very identical.
Then they end up joining whatever sort of pagan shit they're experiencing.
Well, like, I don't think that the boy at the end of Hereditary, because he was overtaken by Cluck, I forget her name.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, he was brought into it, like, yeah, possessed. Where, and in this one, she ends up joining the commune.
You know, there's such a, I think that Midsommar has such a bigger metaphor than Hereditary did. I think the Hereditary was a straightforward, like, witchcraft cult kind of story, you know? And there may be some, you know, of course, there's metaphor probably with everyone who, any movie you can probably find something, you know, oh, it might be about, like, a deeper meaning. But this movie really is about overcoming tragedy, dealing with your present and the things that are holding you back from your future, and then burning, getting rid of what's holding you back, and understanding that it's okay to go forward and finding help somewhere else. Like, if something is hurting you now, it's okay to move forward. I know it's, you know, it could be scary. You might have to put your boyfriend in a bear suit and burn him alive, but, you know, sometimes you gotta burn a motherfucker.
Yeah, like, when I noticed that too, whenever they set the little hut on fire and everything, and you see the her expression on her face go from like, oh my God, what am I doing, to that slight cracked smile.
Evil.
On her.
It's like maniacal.
I don't think it was evil. It was more like relief. Like, she was happy.
Could be.
That it was done. She didn't have to deal with him anymore. And, like, it feels like she found a new home, or, like, relief from everything that has been happening.
I mean, that relationship was dying. It was dead. And he wanted to get rid of her before, you know, so Danny, her parents were murdered by her bipolar sister, who siphoned the gas fumes from their cars into the house and killed the three of them. And so, like, in one instance, she lost her parents and her sister. And so he wanted to break up with her just before that and didn't do it. He put it off. And then, of course, he can't just be like, well, sorry about your family, but I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, and, like, that was, like, the crying in this movie really hit me hard. I don't get emotional too much in movies, but I was like, man, that's rough, because like she's crying and he doesn't know how to console her, and he doesn't know how to like tell her what she needs to hear or even just listen.
That's exactly what I would do. I'd be like,
it's hard. That's a difficult situation. I try my best when that happens to listen, but it is hard. And sometimes you'll catch yourself. I try to catch myself when I'm like, I realize I'm not really paying attention. But if I was in that situation, I would want that person to hear. You know, I would want them to listen to me. You know, I try. Yeah. And so, like, when at the end, when Danny walks over to like the funniest fucking scene in the whole movie with the sex scene, that's something else about this. It's a very funny movie too. There's a lot of dark comedy, but like, she sees Christian fucking Maja, and they're having the chant around, and like that lady is like right in his face and helping him thrust and shit. I'm like, I'd be like, lady. But they're crying with her. That is like one of the most emotional scenes for me, because it just, they're like, they're absorbing her pain and letting her get it out while also feeling it with her. And I was like, oh my God, that, and people need that. You need, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, that I would love that. Just get a group of guys. Let's get all the guys from JUCAO together. Let's just cry together, and we'll all be in sync.
we would just cry like the intervention episode.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you first saw that too with the old couple jumping off the cliff when the guy didn't die, and he was like, oh, and everybody else was like screaming their heads off and shit.
They're trying to like absorb his pain and feel it with him, and it's like almost like they are. You know what I mean? Like they look like they're legitimately in pain. Like they're one commune, you know, binded together. So cool. And speaking of binding together, the wood paneling at the beginning tells you the entire story you're about to see. That you know, that cool painting at the beginning
with the bear.
Like the whole story. Like it's like the moon's out. There's death in the very far left, and that's what Danny's dealing with. And then you know it's arriving to Rammspringer, and then
I think it was in Danny's house. There's the painting in her room of the little girl and the bear. Like the girl's like kissing the bear's head. I immediately thought of that movie Brave, from long ago, but it didn't really click with me until the ending. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. And the thing about that too, the bear's like sleeping, it looks like, and she's like almost trying to wake it up, like you know, give me some attention. And so there's a lot of metaphor in this, and it's all emotional shit.
Yep.
And there's a lot of cool stuff that happens. And there's a lot of like confusing things. Like it's kind of just left up to interpretation. And you know, normally horror movies are dark, and the constant sunlight really kind of it makes you lose track of time. And sometimes you forget that it's supposed to be a horror movie until something some shit goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that, because you don't see sunlight in a horror movie very often.
Yeah, it's like the brightest horror movie you've ever seen.
Yeah,
and it's kind of weird. It kind of flips the whole formula on its head too. Like when you first meet their Swedish friend that like actually brought them to the commune. But when he's talking to Danny alone, he's like, I'm really glad you're coming. Like, really creepily, like.
Yeah.
But it's not creepy. It's just they live a different way of life. So it seems creepy. And, like, everything else is, like, it's obviously fucking weird. But it's not, I don't think it was done in any malicious way.
Yeah, I think he knows she's alone in the world now, and he knows what she needs, and I think he just knew that, like, the May Queen was almost, like, destined for her. And, so that's something else from, like, the Wicker Man, you know, and even going to Nicolas Cage's Wicker Man, like, Sister Honey, I think her name was, Lili Sobieski, and someone else, they were, like, sent out to lure men there so they could kill them and sacrifice them to get their crop back. You know, they think that they sacrifice people to God, then he will supply them with food. So when I saw Pele, I was like, okay, well, he's the guy bringing people there for the sacrifice. And technically he was, but he wasn't malicious towards her because he knew that she would be perfect as, like, his companion, you know, there. He need, you know, I think, wasn't it like the men go out and get companions that way? They don't have incestual relationships because the only form of incest there was Reuben, the seer, the, you know, the dude that's all jacked up.
Yeah. And yeah, fuck Sloth.
Yeah. He's like, he was from an incestual relationship on purpose because they feel like people like him see everything with a blank slate, and so he finger paints, and like their religion constantly changes depending on who the seer is, because and they interpret his finger paintings a certain way, which is what gets Josh killed, the black guy, because he like goes and tries to take pictures of that shit.
That scene where he got bonked on the head actually made me jump.
Oh yeah, because you think it's what was his name?
Yeah, I know the
Mark.
Mark. But yeah. Still, like, it. I knew something was up with Mark when he like walked in. He's like, Mark, and you know he's walking all weird and shit.
He's naked.
When it cuts back to Josh, like he just bonk like instantly.
Yeah,
and it made me jump. But also, I yelled out, Chidi, because he plays Chidi in The Good Place.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, the only time you see him again is when his legs are sticking out of the ground like fucking flowers.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Also, I want a centerpiece in my next house of some dude like butterflied, like his back flayed out like that.
Oh,
that's cool.
Oh, my God. That was so crazy. It was the Blood Eagle. That's what they called it.
Yeah.
And he was still alive, man. Oh, my God. All right.
Also, the
fuck being a vegetable, being a blood eagle is my new fear.
Was he alive, or was it the drugs that you saw moving, like his back and stuff like that?
Oh,
because,
that's true. Yeah, that could be.
Because what's his face was still under the effect of the drug, fucking the girl.
See, that's the problem. Is like in this movie, everything's moving. What the second they drink that first mushroom tea, like everything's like the flowers are fucking like talking almost like mouths, and it puts you on your own trip, which is cool. But then that's true though. I thought that he was alive, but that could have been just him. It probably is him just seeing that.
Because even after the whole May Queen thing, when she's sitting down on the table, you see the plants moving and
yeah,
the background moving, and I think the was it like a chicken or some or a ham or some shit on the table was moving?
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know something else is she suddenly just knew Swedish. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
They started talking to her. I'm like, wait, what? I missed that part. I missed her lessons.
Yeah, they just jump. But I guess that's just part of it. Like, she was destined to be there, so it just like started coming out. And the fact that she's blonde and you know looks you know like she could be from Swedish descent. It all just, I guess, fell into place. But yeah, the drug trips, I can't get over that now. Thinking that I thought he was alive this whole time, but yeah, I'm thinking more now.
You're welcome.
Yeah, see, that's what you got to talk about movies. You learn new things. The nastiest part of the movie was obviously the period punch, and the pubes pie.
Yeah, that was fucking disgusting.
God, and they just kept zooming. Like it was obvious that his was more like an orangish color lemonade, and theirs was just like normal lemonade. You're like, oh god.
Yep.
I saw some dude say he wants to get a tattoo of the paneling that had the girl leave. So gross.
I wonder what the fuck was in that book though.
Yeah, well, it's finger paintings. It's just that dude's finger paintings.
I want to know more about them.
Yeah, like how do they determine what they mean? That's my thing.
And also just all the rune pages and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What all the like the little symbols and stuff means.
Yeah.
Because that's something else too. Like it's hard to take in the scenery, especially when they're in the buildings, because there's so much to look at and there's so much that you just have no idea what it means. And I think Mark, he's the one that pissed on the ceremonial tree, and the guy that's pretty much the reason why he died. He was a dick though. My favorite part of his character, though, was not even in the movie. I remember when I was looking at the movie back when it first came out, and on IMDb, you know, it has, like, warnings. The warning for the movie said something along the lines of excessive vaping in this film as, like, a warning for parents. And I was just like, that is so funny that that's a warning.
Why is that a thing?
That's so funny.
Also, when Josh got knocked out and you see Mark standing over him, I don't think that was actually Mark because it looked like a fucking...
He's wearing his skin.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a Leatherface mask. It was a naked dude. When I first saw it, I thought it was they had skinned Mark and wore his whole body. But when I watched it the second time, it's just his face and it's a naked guy. Yeah, it's definitely not Mark. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. You're welcome.
Was it the retard?
No. He was just watching it. The retard, Jesus Christ.
Sorry. God. You can't call people retarded. You call your friends retarded when they're acting retarded.
Yeah, what's her name? Patty Mullen. She played Frankenhooker back in the day. She got into some hot water because she called, like, there was, like, a Down syndrome kid who was, like, Gerber Baby of the Year or whatever, and she was like, he looks like a mongoloid. And she was trying to apologize, saying that I didn't know that was something you couldn't say. And I'm like, I don't think that was ever something you could say. but she was in some hot water for a while for that. I mean, I think calling someone a retard is better than calling them a mongoloid. But this is my second favorite breakup movie. Breakup horror movie. I can't think of any breakup movies. And I'm not talking about Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
You know what this movie gave me vibes of, though?
Yeah, what?
Very, very hostile vibes.
Really?
Like group of Americans going over a foreign country and then like experiencing whatever the fuck happens over there. And then like shit just goes wrong.
Just stuck in a situation they can't get out of. I did see that the elder lady had a bloodhound tattoo, so who knows?
There you go. Well, and it also ends with like the girl becoming empowered and all that shit.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it just had, like, a very hostile, like, tone and vibe to me.
Well, the girl didn't become empowered at the end of Hostel. Paxton did.
Well, at the end of 2, right? The girl...
Oh, yeah, at 2. Yeah, she became one of the elite, yeah.
Yeah.
So Hostel 2 is what you're saying, dumbass.
Both, man.
But, yeah, a fantastic movie. I think it was amazing. The bears hidden in the movie is really cool. There's a whole bunch of stuff just hidden. It's like you want to watch it several times just so you can kind of... Oh, I didn't talk about my... I take it back. The funniest part of the movie that made me laugh out loud in the theater, and I was the only one that laughed, so I felt uncomfortable. So everyone was kind of chuckling at the sex scene because that's so awkward. The funniest part that I died laughing at was at the end of the movie, Christian's in the bear suit, and they have the two dudes that are in there that are like the willing sacrifices to complete whatever the number of people they needed. Okay, so the guy's like, here's some tree sap. It will prevent you from, you know, the pain of the flames. Like, 2 seconds later, he has the most blood-curdling scream ever.
Yeah.
I died in the theater. It was so funny because it was like, I was not expecting that. And no one thought that was funny.
I think it's kind of also a thing like, this is all bullshit.
What do you mean?
Showing
you that, yeah, what they do is bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It was the rocket situation all over again for Planet Terror, where, like, you know, the kid has the gun, the mom's like, don't aim it at your face, just if someone comes, you aim and shoot, and, like, she's walking off, and in the background, just blows his head off, and you and I thought that was funny as shit, and the next night we go into the theater when it was, like, a public screening now, no one laughed at it, and you and I were like, oh, man, we're fucking going to hell, apparently.
We are severely fucked in the head.
That there's no way that's not funny to normal people.
Well, that yeah, and like a situation like that, talking about like being the only ones in the theater laughing and stuff like that. My buddy, did I talk about this on the last show? My buddy and I went to see Black Klansman.
No.
And we were like the only white people in the theater. Mm-hmm. And like we were laughing at everything that happened in the movie, and oftentimes it was only us laughing.
Yeah.
So, and we're surrounded by like black people, and we're laughing at these situations, like situations happening to the white characters and the black characters. But obviously it's going to happen where like the stuff that happens to the white characters gets more of a laughter from the audience, but like not a whole lot of chuckles when stuff happened to the black characters. So we're just like,
yeah, it's uncomfortable.
A little bit, but we just kept laughing. And then the same thing happened when we went to go see The Favorite. It was like just us two, and we're like in our 20s, and everybody else in the theater is in their fucking 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And we're laughing at all this shit, and like no one else is laughing. With them, like, are you guys retarded?
That's happened to me on two different occasions, and one of them was just recently. The first one was Mason and I went to see Get Rich or Die Trying in Sumter.
So classic.
Look out, Scorsese. So there's a part where, you know, of course 50 Cent gets shot 9 times, and they go, somebody call an ambulance, and we died laughing, and like no one else thought that was funny because that's probably how they said it. But yeah. The other time was, I just watched, this is going to be spoilers for a recent movie, Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So if you don't want me to spoil it for you, tell me now.
Go for it.
Okay. I was talking to people at home. They didn't say anything.
La, 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 la.
So at the end of the movie, okay, so you know, you have Sharon Tate the entire time, played by Margot Robbie, and everyone knows what happened to Sharon Tate from the Mansons, you know, the Manson family. And of course, you have Brad Pitt dealing with the Mansons throughout the whole movie. If you have not seen this movie, please go see it. It's amazing. I think it's out on Blu-ray now. At the end of the movie, the Manson, the three that go and kill Sharon Tate in real life, are driving up the street, and to subvert, Leo DiCaprio lives next door to Sharon Tate. So kind of like to subvert what actually happened, kind of like what he did with Inglourious Basterds where they killed Hitler, Leo comes out and he's like, what the fuck are you doing in my driveway? Like, this hunk of junk piece of, back it up, get the fuck out of here. And he's like, what are you looking at? Like, getting in their face and shit. So you back off, and they go down the hill, and they decide, well, we're going to kill that bastard instead of Sharon Tate. So they go to his house, and of course, you know, everything goes wrong because Brad Pitt's a badass, and he's high as fuck. I think he dropped acid. And so he just beats the shit out of them, like pummels their faces into the wall, into the telephone. Then like one gets knocked outside into the pool, and Leo DiCaprio breaks out a fucking flamethrower. It's just such a Quentin Tarantino moment. And I was dying laughing because of how brutal it was. It was just out of left field. I mean, their faces, he throws like a can of dog food at one of them, and their nose almost pops off. It's so fucking funny. And no one's laughing. And I'm just like, this is the funniest shit. Number one, we're seeing a bunch of killers who did one of the most heinous crimes ever get their just desserts. Sure, it's fiction, but it's still fucking hilarious. I just don't get people. They don't get dark humor. And I feel like, you know, it takes a very smart mind to get dark humor.
I feel like when there's a situation like that where you're obviously not supposed to feel bad for, like, who's getting attacked and how ridiculous the situation is, people don't laugh at it because, like, they're not being told to laugh at it.
Yeah, it's true. You know?
So, like, when we find funny situation, like, we find the humor in not normal situations.
Misery. That, you got to laugh at bad stuff sometimes.
It's not even that. It's just, like, stuff that normal people probably wouldn't laugh at regularly. Like, fucking Rocket shooting himself in the face in Planet Terror.
Yeah.
That situation. Other so stuff funny. In horror movies. Like, it's just so ridiculous that it would happen and that you put it in a movie, like, you just can't help yourself but laugh. But other people are like, oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Why would you ever shoot a kid in the face? One, he's a shithead. Two, it's funny.
Yeah. But it's the setup, too. Like, it's all in the setup. Like, it's not – a kid shooting himself in the face is not funny. That's fucked up. It's the setup that led to that moment that made it so funny. It's the setup that the Mansons decided, we're not going to kill pregnant Sharon Tate. We're going to go and kill this guy, and then getting the shit kicked out of them. Like, you know, it's just that reality that just kind of took a left turn, and now it's your Earth 2 reality. You know what I mean? That's what made it so funny. And, like, the build-up for her saying, Mommy loves you, and then kind of walking off, and it's, like, so quiet. And you know what's going to happen because, like, it's a shot of her with the car slowly getting, you know, further and further away with the background, and you know that he's going to shoot himself. Like, there's no way that's not going to happen. And right. And the better part was that it was Robert Rodriguez's kid that played, you know, Rocket is his actual kid, another name that might be named by Gwyneth Paltrow. It's like his own kid that, you know, was the one that shot him in the face. I mean, it's so funny. That's my favorite type of humor is like the shit that people don't find that funny.
Right. Or like stuff that you wouldn't normally put in a movie, like a kid shooting himself in the face. Like,
yeah.
Doing it to your own son. Like, that's fucking wild.
Like, if you made a movie about a kid, you know, finding a gun in his dad's closet and fucking around with it and killing himself, that's not funny. That's a drama, or that's like a sad, you know, build-up movie. Of course that's not funny, but it's just it's all in the setup and the timing and understanding what the artist is trying to get across and in that moment.
Yeah.
But people are afraid to laugh at shit like that.
And then you also have situations like I think Tarantino might be the best one of the best people to put those types of situations in his movies. Like Inglourious Bastards, again, every scene with Christoph Waltz was fucking intense.
Yeah.
And terrifying. But he also had those little moments where you chuckled, like half, like that's a bingo.
Yeah.
And blah, Shoshana, that type of shit. Like, it's so goofy, but you also know that his character is so vile and evil that you're just like, what is wrong with this guy?
You know, whole time? He's gotten away with so much because of that too. I remember seeing Django with Tay, and I went to see Django, like it was like opening night, and the guy in front of us was counting like out loud every time they said the N-word. So that's how I knew how many times he was like, and he'd throw his hands up in the air like he was so mad. And I'm like, dude, okay, this movie takes place in a time where that ignorance was common. That was just common speak. And they're not glorifying it. They're making a point to say that everyone was fucked up. Like that, it's not saying that that was a good thing. It's just saying that everyone back then was that way. And it was, you know, I mean, not even the good people. I mean, Christoph Waltz didn't say it. I don't think he said it once. But I mean, like, even the people who meant well would say it because it was like they grew up saying that word. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, in today's society, obviously, we've at least grown enough to, like, even the most racist of person knows that's a trigger word. That's a bad word. You know, that's a word you shouldn't say. But, at the same time, when you give that word that much power, it makes it that much more hurtful for everybody. Like, it's like when I was growing up, like mom, if I said fuck or whatever, you know, that was like, you're gonna die! Like, I was in the store the other day. Tay has a habit of saying, like, what the hell, or, like, damn it. So I was in the store. We were in, like, a Goodwill, like, thrifting, and Tally's like, can we go look at toys? And I was like, no. And she goes, ah, damn it. And so, like, you know, I was like, you know, that's not it's funny in my head, but I can't show her that that's funny. So right. I was like, you can't say that. That's a bad word. You know, in my – again, I don't want my 4-year-old running around, you know, cussing and stuff. She can save that until she's, like, 13 or whatever. But – at the same time, I'm not going to, like, blow up on her and do – for something that was pretty much put in her head by her parents. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not her fault. And now she knows it's a bad word. So now you can be like, all right, you said it again. So, it's you know, you get punished for it. But it's just like my mom would blow up over that shit.
And going back to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the guy that played Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Who also played Charles Manson in Mindhunter, the newest season.
Perfection.
He was also in Justified, probably one of my favorite characters in the show. And
was he Charles Manson?
No. His name was Dewey Crow. But no, he's the guy's Australian. I didn't know that. But he's probably like one of my favorite characters. And it was I kind of had like an Opie moment with him
in the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, Dewey! But no, like, I've looked him up on IMDb. I'm like, holy fuck, this is the Charles Manson guy. And I could kind of see it because he's kind of got, like, the same facial structure and, like, the way he acts and stuff like that is. But also,
have you seen a side-by-side of him doing his Charles Manson with what Charles Manson actually, like, said and did? It's so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
You said also?
But hold on. My mom is taking food away from me.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom. We interrupt this message. I'm recording. Get out. Jesus Christ. Holy shit.
Don't say that. She'll blow up on you.
The most awkward 2 minutes of my life.
Keeping it in the show.
The fuck. Anyways, the story that I was telling you about the other night when I about Amazon Prime like fucking paywalling me on the last few episodes of Justified.
Yeah, bullshit.
And then like they fucking mention it on The Good Place when I start watching that. Like, literally, life is predetermined.
Yeah.
Like 100%. And then I go on Hulu, and then I go back to the front page of Hulu, and Justified sitting right there. I'm like, somebody's watching me, and I don't like it.
Yeah, there's some shit that happens, though, like online when, God, it happened today, and I can't remember what it was. I was looking at something on Facebook, like watching a video or something like that, and then I get onto my computer, and I open up, I don't remember what it was, but it was like the same thing, but like in a completely different thing. It's crazy that happens, but it's just coincidence. But yeah, I was going to tell you, I saw Justified on Hulu. I didn't know. I forgot to tell you the other day whenever you said you couldn't watch the last like 5 episodes on Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon's full of shit, man. We watched like RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff like that, and like they'll give you like the first like season or two, and like, okay, well, the rest of the 13 seasons you can't watch. I'm like, really? You're going to make me pay for like season 4?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, it makes no sense. Like, I think, like, I started watching Mr. Robot because I couldn't watch Justified, and they, like, you can watch the first 3 seasons on Prime, and then you have to buy the last one. So I'm thinking about seeing if Hulu has the last one or the show on there at all.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not, but worth a shot.
I thought it was on Netflix for a while.
I think it was, but now that all these streaming services are starting to, like, break off of Netflix, like, taking their content off, it's hard to find out, like, what actually has what nowadays.
You know what, though? Here's the upside of that. Like, I know it sucks to lose. Like in 2021, Tay and I have already said that we might cancel Netflix because we literally only have Netflix pretty much to watch The Office and Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking off Office and Parks and Rec because NBC has their own streaming service coming out, as if we're going to start paying $9.99 a month for all these streaming services. The upside to this, though, is that, like, I just noticed yesterday that Netflix has, like, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Friday the 13th remake. Like Amazon Prime has all the Friday the 13th movies on there. And again, this is just like from the horror aspect. I'm sure there's more for like drama fans and comedy fans and stuff like that. But like I've noticed, I hated Netflix for the past like 8 years because it's like there's only like a show that I want to watch. Nothing really came out I ever cared about. And it all started becoming Netflix original stuff. But here lately, there's been a lot of like good movies that used to be the norm when Netflix streaming service was, you know, first a thing. You know, they were like, of course, they were the only one really doing it at the time, so they had to have all the good movies. But like once these other ones came out, they started like straying away from getting like decent movies and having like a bunch of bullshit and then their Netflix movies. But now it seems like they're having like The Departed and all kinds of good stuff on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also, well, it's going, speaking on The Departed, it's probably because they also have like The Irishman, which was really...
You watched that? Yeah, I think we talked about it.
Yeah, Irishman was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. It was really long, though.
That's Scorsese for you.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ever had a 3.5-hour movie before.
Was it Casino long as fuck?
Yeah, I don't think it was 3.5 hours. But it's no Casino or Goodfellas, though.
No, God, no. But I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, I started to notice that, too. Like, they've started to bring back, like, a little bit more quality to their thing, but it's still oversaturated with their fucking Netflix originals. But it's also their Netflix originals, a lot of them aren't even their actual originals. It's a lot of stuff that they've like co-opted from like the BBC or like Latin America or Japan or something like that.
It'll just be like an indie film that was already made that was sitting on the shelf and they bought it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they just slapped Netflix original movie on there or some shit.
But, you know, it's cool, though. I was watching movies, like, you know, when we worked at the movie theater for, like, 4 years before you went off and did your own thing at the other movie theater in Maryland. But, so there's, like, a bunch of movies they've added that we watched, like, maybe one time, like Dinner for Schmucks. I remember loving that movie, and we watched it recently, and it is not a good movie. But then I remember not liking Yes Man with Jim Carrey and Zooey Deschanel, and I fucking love that movie now. So I don't know if it's, like, taste change or... just like the atmosphere of just us on preview night, you know, kind of made movies better, you know, like even while we left Max Payne, but
I mean, like watching movies with other people definitely gives a different atmosphere because
it depends
you're able to,
on who you're watching it with.
Yeah. You're able to like talk to the other person and like make commentary, even if it's a shitty movie.
Yeah.
And still make fun of it and then have fond memories of the movie. Even if it's not a good movie.
I 100% miss the preview nights. Just with you and, like, Artemis and some of our friends back in the day. Because there was no, like, worrying about, are you talking during a movie because there's other people. Like, we just did our own thing. We'd bring in some Crown Royal and some pizza and whatever the hell else we wanted. You'd be dipping into a popcorn bucket. Like, it was just better times.
I agree.
I was talking to Patrick yesterday. He writes me a lot. But he was like, man, I miss the days. I want to see the old Jukeout videos. I'm like, there's a private playlist that I made. I made it private because, you know, a lot of the people that helped us make those stupid-ass skits probably wouldn't want, you know, that stuff to be public. I mean, and to be honest, there's a good chunk of it that I wouldn't want to be public for us that we did. Looking at you, Wiggs. He was like, well, did you ever edit like the movie we made? And I was like, you know, when I was like had nothing else to do when I was in the house for a year, I did, and it's so fucking funny. Like, I think it's better than it needs to be. Like, it's so bad, but just because it was us doing it, it's so funny. And I think that we need to have like a viewing party.
Do you think we could get it submitted to Sundance?
Oh, we should totally do it.
Let's do it.
It's so bad. This was all shot on a a Canon power shot.
Let's see if Blumhouse will pick it up. They fucking produce anything.
Fuck, Netflix might.
Ooh, maybe, yeah.
It can't be worse than Goop.
I think I read something they plan on spending $17 billion next year on content. So why not just spend a couple thousand on us?
Man, I thought of you yesterday. Speaking of this movie, we made a movie called K7. None of us are actors. I will give you Trayvon was really good. And even though like Detective Tommy Brewer was a cop friend of ours that used to work at the Beacon on like busy nights. He was in it as a detective in the movie we made. And even though he's like overacting, he is so into it. He went full Jake Gyllenhaal for us. And he had no reason to do that. He was so cool. But we all range in our acting abilities, you know. None of us were great by any means, but Josh took the cake. like Patrick was bad, and like Isaiah was probably the worst, mainly because he didn't know his goddamn lines ever. Like, remember how many shots? I think there's an edit in a thing I did of him just us going, "Oh my god, just make it up. It doesn't matter." And please stop sounding like a robot. But Josh, I was watching a movie called Psycho Cop, which actually has the guy who plays Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration. He's the satanic psycho cop going around killing people. There's a character in it who is like, where's my brush? Oh, did I leave it in the barn? I'm going to go walk to the barn and look at it. Oh, it's not on the floor. I don't even think I've been in this barn before. She's just narrating everything. I'm like, oh my god, that's Josh! One day on the podcast, if we can figure out how to make it to where I can play audio that the audience and you can also hear, I'm going to play the clip that I edited together. It's like quick cuts of one scene that Josh did, and it's just him narrating everything. So I took out go ahead.
Let me defend myself here, okay? One, we were in a very dark projection booth. Two, we were filming with like a fucking Canon, like
power shot,
Polaroid camera. So there was zero light. Three, I had to climb up a fucking ladder to the roof in the pitch darkness.
The best part of it, though, it had nothing to do with the ladder. It was just like, whoa, these projectors are on. Is anybody up here? Hello? Hello? Colin?
What's wrong with that?
I guess I gotta go to the roof. Oh, looks like I'm going to the roof. Oh, man, I should be getting paid for this. Oh, wait, I am. Oh, fuck. Wait, on the roof now. Am I up here? Oh, it's raining. Hey. it was so good. And, like, the edit that I did where I just took out all the dead air, it's just you talking, like, it's just nonstop. It's so funny. Because it just keeps going.
Gotta admit, though, that first part where I realize the projectors are on makes a lot of sense, though, in the context.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, we did a lot of cool stuff, and, you know, with what limited resources we had. There was, like, one... I mean, there's probably a million things that I would do different if I had the budget, obviously, to do it. But there was one thing that I think that we dropped the ball on. There's a scene that we did where Trayvon and Patrick are together, and they walk into a theater, and, like, the projector comes on, and I had spliced together a bunch of, like, the heads and tails of trailers and movies that we had that we normally just threw away. Because it had, like, a bunch of countdowns and black and then white. So instead of, like, writing something cool that would be, like, a quick, like, Easter egg kind of thing almost that would spell something out, I just drew, like, a bunch of X's randomly. And so it was kind of a cool effect where the X would jump because, you know, each Sharpie mark was different size or different area. But I just feel like it was a missed opportunity to, like spell something out, you know?
Yeah.
But to be honest, if you watch the movie, there's a lot of shit that does make sense. Like, you wouldn't think that we would have the right mind to have any kind of coherence. But it's not a bad story. It's just that we just all suck.
That's what you get when you get a bunch of minimum wage workers.
Yeah, but we were on movie. The clock, though.
That's true.
And that spawned our skits, which ended up, I mean, we, to this day, there's at least like 5 or 10 skits that we made that I think are like comedy gold. Like, there's a bunch of shit because we had the camera like rolling all the time, but there's like at least 5 or 6 that I watch all the time.
My favorite one of all time is probably either Quiet Fight or, the Sequoia Prep School one.
Yeah, the Mood Lifters 3. Finger Guns is great. God, there's so many. Oh, Feek was good. Even though it, towards the end it drags on a little long. There's a few of them that... And I think that I didn't really edit a lot. Like, I didn't learn editing. Like, I'm glad that I waited to edit the movie because I've learned how to edit more. And, like, the editing looks better for the movie. But back then, we'd let the camera roll, and it would be, like, an 8-minute skit that needed to be cut down to, like, a 2.5 or 3-minute skit. So it drags on. But the idea of each skit was funny. But we just didn't know how to edit. Anyway, we're talking about a bunch of shit no one knows about.
They'll see it soon enough.
Yeah,
don't worry.
We should really do some kind of commentary thing for that. I think that'd be fun.
The Criteria Collection is going to come out soon. So be on the lookout.
How is The Room not in the Criterion Collection?
I thought it was.
I don't know. It's definitely not.
Well. All
right. I think that's it for this week. We have rambled for an hour and a half, and we got a mom cameo. So on behalf of Undressed to Impress, I'm Kyle.
I'm Josh.
Stay the fuck out of Sweden.
Actually, go there. I heard it's nice.
It is beautiful. I don't mind if the trees talk to me.
Stay away from the weird blood-drinking weirdos, though.
Have a good week.
Later.
But wait! There's more!
One of the greatest lines ever uttered in the show, though, was from the newest episode. He was like, if humanity is saved, then I can't put spiders in people's buttholes. And I have to spider up those buttholes.
Good God.
I was like, I want to see that.
Jesus Christ. I'm sure you can Google it. Japan or Germany's got you covered, bud.
Or like some other Eastern European country. Like, I bet Ukraine is into that weird shit.
Yeah, some spider butt action.
Yeah.
Spider butt.
Spider in the butthole.
Like, I can just see, like, that's like you're on a first date. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty kinky. You know, I like, you know, being choked and my hair pulled. I'm into spider butt. What?
How do you feel about Black Widows?
Like a hard pass on Daddy Long Legs up in the butthole? They don't bite.